This is a psalm that David wrote at a time of great rejoicing for his people. Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles and the judgments he pronounced. O servants of Israel, his servant, O descendants of Israel, his servant, O sons of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the word he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant he made with Abraham, the oath he swore to Isaac. He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. To you I will give the land of Canaan as the portion you will inherit. When they were but few in number, few indeed and strangers in it, they wandered from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another. He allowed no man to oppress them. For their sake he rebuked kings. Do not touch my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him, strength and joy in his dwelling place. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Bring an offering and come before him in worship. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world is first firmly established. It cannot be moved. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then the trees of the forest will sing. They will sing for joy before the Lord. For he comes to judge the earth. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Cry out, save us, O God, our Saviour. Gather us and deliver us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name, that we may glory in your praise. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Then all the people said, Amen, and praise the Lord.
Yes. Thank you, Anna, for reading that so nicely. I hope you're listening. There'll be questions later, so shall we pray? Lord, thank you for this opportunity to look at the Bible this morning. Please don't let our laziness or pride or weariness or my failings or anything else stop us from hearing it. Through your Holy Spirit, make it real to us so that we can thank and praise you for how it changes our lives this coming week. Amen. Teaching children to say please and thank you is a bit of a task, isn't it, if you've ever had to bring young children up? A friend of mine had a party for his kids when they were about 5 or 6, and he was in charge of refreshments. And at one point, a little girl dashed in and said, "I want orange juice. I want some orange juice." And he said, "And what's that other little word you need to say?" And she thought for a minute and said, "Biscuits." And that's what our prayers sound like sometimes, you know. We're not naturally thankful creatures. So this morning we're looking at praying when thankful. Now there's lots to be thankful for. For example, I guess we all had clean water coming out of the tap this morning. Now I'd complain pretty quickly if there wasn't. But I didn't thank God for it, and probably you didn't either. But there's more to this than just thanking God for the obvious things. So we'll look this morning briefly at the dangers of not being thankful, and then at two ways we can pray thankfully. And on the dangers of not being thankful, here's a couple of passages that made me sit up and take notice. The first is from Deuteronomy 28, 47 to 48. And it's one of the scariest verses in a very scary chapter. It's God telling the Israelites what will happen if they live ungrateful lives. He says, "Because you did not serve the Lord your God joyfully and gladly in a time of prosperity, therefore in hunger and thirst, in nakedness and dire poverty, you will serve the enemies of the Lord, the enemies the Lord sends against you. He will put an iron yoke on your neck until he's destroyed you." Well, that's a bit harsh, isn't it, for not being thankful? Let's hurry off to the New Testament where we meet a nicer God. We hope, maybe, perhaps. Here's a bit from Romans chapter 1, where Paul is talking about people who drift away from God. He says, "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness." And he says specifically about godless people in verse 21, "For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened." And by verse 26, these people are filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. And those things happened partly because they weren't thankful. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. And, we recognize echoes of those things in our own lives, and we need to be thankful for God. And it'd be worth our while thinking more about thankfulness this morning to avoid that kind of fate. So here are two ways which Paul tells us to be thankful. And the first way is in Philippians 4, verses 4 to 6. He said, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." And I've been wrestling with this because it links asking for things very closely with giving thanks for things. And I'm not sure how that works. But here's a couple of things. First of all, if you knew that God really loved you, as he does, then you'd come to him with a thankful heart, yeah? Like David did in that psalm. And I think the person we think we're praying to affects what we pray for. It subtly alters it, because what you believe about the person you're asking affects what you ask. And there's another thing. Did you see in that reading, that psalm, that David slips in a request? And did you see where he did that? Did you see that? Check out verses 34 and 36. And he says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." And then he says, "Cry out, save us, O Lord, our Savior. Gather us and deliver us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name." So towards the end of that psalm of praise, he focuses on thanks, and that's where he gets his request in. Now, it's worth noting, incidentally, that as Chronicles 1 tells it, after there's these chapters on thanksgiving, things go really well for David and his people. I'm not sure how that works, but Jesus knew, didn't he? Do you remember the story of the feeding of the 5,000? Jesus tells his disciples to feed the people, and all they've got is 5 loaves and 2 fish, which they've borrowed from a child in the crowd. And Jesus gives thanks for these, this single packed lunch, and it feeds 5,000 people. And even more in the story of Lazarus in John 11. Do you remember that? This bloke had been dead for days. He wasn't even a corpse anymore. He was carrion. And Jesus tells him to open the grave, and then he gives thanks. Father, I thank you that you've heard me. And after that, he tells Lazarus to come out. And Lazarus does, and next time we see him, he's partying again. So be like David. Try thanking God when you ask for things. You know, we often come charging into God asking, demanding lemon juice, orange juice, and I think sometimes if we say thank you, we get the biscuits too. I don't know. The second way Paul says to give thanks is to give thanks for everything and in all circumstances. And he says it in two places, in Ephesians 5, 19 to 20. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. For everything. I've got a friend who suffers from mental illness. I've been praying for him for about 20, 30 years. And I've not seen any healing there. Not much. But he's taught me lots of patience. I've learned patience. I've learned compassion. I've learned all sorts of things I'd never have learned if he'd not had that illness. I've even learned where George's Cafe is. Now, George's Cafe, you won't know where this is, but George's Cafe does the best English fried breakfast with black pudding you will come across. And I found out through my friend who's got this mental illness. That's the place he goes. Give thanks to God for everything. That's hard, isn't it? And in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but I find it easier to be grumpy in all circumstances. Now, I put it down to my age. You know, I'm sounding more and more like that chap, Victor Mildrew. It's a bit scary because when I was younger, I thought he was just a grumpy old man who complained all the time. And now I see it and I think, well, actually, he's a normal bloke living in a world living in a world full of buffoons and idiots. And, well, I wouldn't be surprised if I was both wrong. Anyway, I do think nothing turns us into bitter, sterile, selfish, dissatisfied people more quickly an ungrateful heart. And let's not allow a spirit of ingratitude to harden our heart and chill our relationships with God and with others. And let's remember how to be thankful in all circumstances, even when things are going wrong. And there's a few clues for that in this passage from David. Now, you need to know that compared with King David, you know, you and I have got it easy, really. And he wrote that wonderful Psalm of Thanksgiving. Now, I reckon that I'm in pretty good shape if no one's out to kill me because I'm in the wrong tribe or the wrong religion or I've got the wrong politics or I'm from the wrong family or simply just being in the wrong place at the wrong time. You know, nobody's ever tried to kill me for those things. I'm already ahead of David and lots of people elsewhere in places like Aleppo and goodness knows where else. Because David had all of those things. The surrounding tribes were out to get him. The Philistines down the road hated the Jews. He'd been persecuted because he didn't come from the ruling dynasty. The little patch of land that he and his people lived on just happened to be possibly the most dangerous bit of land in the Middle East. And this was a world where genocide and ethnic cleansing were just everyday policy decisions. And that was just his day job. You know, warlording in Israel in 900 BC was, you know, no place for wimps. This is a pressurized environment, as they say these days. On top of that, his marriage was going wrong. His wife despised him. You can see end of chapter 15 there, 1 Chronicles. Elsewhere, one of his sons committed incest. A couple of years later, his brother slaughtered that son's brother slaughtered him to pay him back. And later on, one of his sons led a palace coup and tried to murder him. And you thought your family was a bit weird. Well, let me tell you, God is not shocked by weird families. You know, he knows a few. And David's family was as weird as many of them. Despite all that, David wrote this wonderful psalm of thanksgiving and rejoicing. And there are three things he did which maybe we can learn from, which I've been trying to learn from. The first thing is he remembered and called to mind how good God had been to him and his people in the past. And often in this psalm, he refers back to the past, doesn't he? And says, talks about a time when God delivered them from Egypt and led them through safely through the wilderness. And he recalls those things. He consciously recalls those things. Now, I've kept a prayer diary since about 1991, off and on, not perfectly. But it's enough that when I read it occasionally, I'm startled by a number of things I was worried about in the past. A number of prayers got answered. And a number of bad things didn't happen. I must be a pessimist. But it's always a blessing to remember what God's done for you and for us in the past, and to be thankful for that. A second thing to note is that being thankful is not an emotion, yeah? It's a decision. And David made that decision, which cost him. Because if you look at the start of chapter 16, he consciously sets aside people and the resources to pay for them to praise, thank, and call upon the Lord. He names them there, Asaph, Zechariah, Jael, Sherim, and Moroth, and they get worse after that, so I shan't read them all. But there's a bunch of people there who David paid for just to give thanks to God and pray to him. He made a cold-blooded decision to do that, and he set aside resources to thank God. Now, we sometimes too easily remember and dwell on disappointments and prayers that weren't answered. And I'm thinking of my friend here with the mental disability. And some of our lives have been blighted by disappointment and unanswered prayer. And it might just be helpful to remind ourselves this morning that your comfort and convenience is not God's top priority. Yeah, his plans for you do not necessarily include your comfort and convenience. His plans for you are to see his image restored in you. And he doesn't actually owe you or me anything. You know, Rick Warren said, God doesn't owe us an explanation for everything. And actually, what I've found is, explanations don't comfort. What comforts us is the presence of God, not explanations. I'm not saying we should deny or bury our disappointments. I'm just saying David decided to thank God anyway. And Paul adds that those bad times are also something to thank God for. And so does James, doesn't he? In James 1, he says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. And if you're trying to follow Jesus, and you really believe that God is in ultimate authority in the world, and if you profoundly believe and deeply hold that all things work together for those who love the Lord, then what is there not to be thankful for? You know, Jesus gave thanks in all circumstances. On the night when he ate with his friends for the last time, before they betrayed him and deserted him, before his enemies killed him, he took some bread and gave thanks for it. Then he broke it and said, this is my body, broken for you. So it's easy to say this morning, give thanks in all circumstances. And some of you I know, will, you know, in any group of people this big, some of you are going to be struggling with some really hard things this morning. And it's easy for me to stand here and say, give thanks to God for that. But I have been trying to be thankful in the petty aggravations that pop in my life from time to time, and I've been blessed a bit. And those of you with real big problems, if you try, I'll bet you'll be blessed a lot. And the third thing which David does was interesting, he does it twice in verse 8 and 23, is that he's thankful to God and he talks a lot. He talks about talking about God's goodness, you know, telling the nations and so on. And if we were as thankful to God as David was, we'd talk about God as much as he did. Now, I think this is a word to us as individuals, but also a word to us as a gathering of God's people. Sometimes people say the church, you know, our church is in a bit of a state, and they're dead right. You know, I've been here 30 years ago, and it was in a bit of a state then as well. The trouble is it's full of people, and whenever you get imperfect people together, there's going to be problems. I'm not saying we should hide or ignore things that aren't great, and I'm not saying we shouldn't fix things that could do with fixing. But we could and should make a conscious decision to thank God for all the way he's led us. Because God has done more things here than you can shake a stick at. He really has. And we should sometimes pause to remember all those good things that God's done it in the past and he's still doing among us today, and be thankful. And without denying our faults and failings, let's not forget those warnings that we started with about grumbling when we should be thankful. You know, I find it easy and natural to grumble, and hard and unnatural to be thankful. But I believe my life is better when I'm thankful. And I'm sure yours will be too. So to sum up, be thankful when you ask God for things, yeah? That sounds counterintuitive, but David did it, and there's other examples in here. Do you remember Jonah when he was inside the whale and he prayed to God with thankfulness? And and he was delivered. So be thankful when you ask God for things. Let your requests be accompanied with thanksgiving. And be thankful for God's hand on all the gritty detail of your life, even when it seems hard. And you know, it does at times, doesn't it? I remember I was worried about something the other day, and I was thinking, I'm retired now, I shouldn't have all these worries. And Dan said, bless him, you know, there will always be worries. If you wait till you've finished with all your worries, you'll be waiting a long time, because there will always be worries. And there are, aren't there? So be thankful for God's hand on the gritty detail of your life, even when it seems very hard. Be thankful. Be thankful by remembering all of the good things God's done for you in the past. And then, you know, feel free to talk about it. It's hard talking about the church. It's hard talking about faith. But I'm happy to talk about Jesus. That's one thing. That's one person. That's one relationship I can talk about easily and happily. So let's pray as we come to reflect on these verses. Lord, help us to try praying when we are thankful. Even more, help us to try being thankful when we pray. Amen. Now, on the second Sunday in the month, we normally have a moment to reflect and talk about the discussion. And it'd be good today if we reflect on the things we've heard. It might be good if you spent a few moments thinking about and perhaps sharing with the people you're sat with some things you've got to be thankful for. You might have things you need to pray for as well, but let's do that first. Let's think about some things to be thankful for. And then perhaps take a moment to pray. And then we'll give ourselves a few minutes for that, and then David will come and wrap that up for us in a few minutes. But spend a few moments now just thinking about all the good things which you have to be thankful for, and before we pray.